Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today, Jody Cornell is here. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Richland County Fair, which is coming up. Boy, it doesn't seem like it should be fair time, does it?
Summer has gone so fast.
Let's talk about, I guess, first of all, the state fair. How did it go for the local youth?
The state fair went really good. We only had two youth representing the county, but we came back with first place for small herdsmanship, and we came back with a second place award for our educational display.
Great. Yep. So the entries are all in at this point then, is that correct?
County Fair, yep, they were all due back at the 1st August. They're all in, entries are all in, everybody knows what they're bringing, and so, yep, we're all set that way.
How do your numbers look this year?
Well, numbers will be down because of the fact no one's bringing cows. So, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about a little bit. There won't be any live cows on the fairgrounds this year, dairy cows. There may be a couple of dry cows, but there will not be any milking dairy cows.
Lactating cows.
Yep.
So this is kind of a statewide thing that's been going on this summer, isn't it?
It's true. So it's nothing that the kids have control of at all. It's been a disease. It was found in cattle back, they think they had it probably back in November, December of 23, actually, in Texas. It really wasn't diagnosed until about March, and they found it in, I believe it's like 8 states now, and it's actually H1N5, and it's actually a disease that's found in birds, and they think that's how the cattle first got it, was they got it from wild birds that were either feeding in their feed or swimming in their water or came in contact with the cattle through like a secondary contact with the cattle.
How does it affect the cattle then?
So primarily it affects milking cattle, and that's why we're not bringing milking cows. It basically kind of changes their milk makeup. They're giving more like a cottage cheese instead of a milk, which isn't good. You can't put that in the bulk tank. You can't sell it. And the cows do get sick. They can run a temperature. And there's the worst problem is that there's not a lot that we as farmers can do for our cows at that point. We can basically kind of treat the symptoms like you would a person. So a person has a fever, you give them aspirin. We give the cows aspirin. We can give them some supplements to help their stomachs feel a little better. But basically it's kind of a treat the symptoms, ride it out, and most of the cows are getting over it somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks. They seem to be coming back pretty much to normal, other than once they've had it, they don't finish out their lactation as strong as they were going. So it kind of puts a damper on their milk production. But most cows are surviving. I think there's like a 2% rate or something that are actually dying from it. It's a flu. It's a virus. So there's not a lot of stuff out there yet. They're trying to come up with a vaccine for it, just like they did for people. But there isn't a whole lot out there we can do right now. And so it's not the kids' fault. Although we pretty much made the decision not to bring cows to the fair. I think we could have probably if everyone would have wanted to, but a lot of people didn't want to, and so we're not going to. But instead of having live dairy cows at the fair this year, we will be having a virtual show. The cows will all be pictured, and they're almost all pictured. We will finish picturing tomorrow, and then they will all be pictured, and the judge is actually going to place them based on pictures. If anyone is familiar with Hordes Dairyman has been doing a picture contest since I think it's 1939. They've had a picture contest in their magazine, and that's basically what we're going to do. And then we're hoping, and I haven't got all this finished up. It's kind of been a quick run here, but we are hoping to have a 50-50 raffle. If anyone who'd like to stop by out in the barn can look at the pictures, and they'll be able to place a class. And if you can place the class the same way the judge does, then we will be having a 50-50 raffle. It'll probably cost $2 to throw your entry in. And And then if we get this all put together, we would divide that up between the dairy group and whoever wins the prize.
So you've really had to think outside the box a little bit, haven't you?
We have. It's taken a little bit. We've actually gotten some ideas from a few other counties. Barron County actually did a picture show. They didn't have any cows at their fair. Now, some fairs are having cows, and that's fine. I mean, it's up to the individual fair to make that decision. The state is not saying yes or no. Although the state is saying that if you are going to bring those cows, they must be tested for the virus, and that requires a milk test. But the individual fairs are allowed to make up their own mind about whether or not they're going to allow lactating cows to come onto the grounds, you know, for their fair. And as I said, I think we could have, but it just wasn't going to be enough participants bringing cows to make it fair to everyone else. And we have some youth this is their last year, and the only thing they were bringing was their cow. One young lady, and I won't say her name, but one young lady has shown the same cow for like 4 or 5 years, and this was going to be her final year with her cow, and it broke her heart. She actually broke down and cried. She was very upset. But I hope that everyone realizes the work that the youth put into these animals. And not, I mean, all these animals were signed up for the fair. You know, back when entries were due, people were still thinking we were bringing cows, and then this decision was made not to. And so, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to bring my cow. And some of these kids didn't sign up anything else because that's not what they were about. They were about their cow. And so I'm just really hoping that this picture show goes well and that people actually will stop by and take a look at the pictures. Even if you don't want to try your hand at the judging, that's fine. But stop by, take a look at the pictures, and just support the kids, because this is really important to the kids. And we're just trying to do something so that they still get to show their cows.
Will there be a set time when the judge makes the decision, like, you know, any other show, like, let's say 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, he's going to do it? Or do you know when the judging's actually going to take place or not?
We won't know exactly what time the judging will take place, but I would guess that by noon he'll be judging those cows, because we'll do the heifer show just like normal in the morning. It'll start at 9 o'clock. And then however long it takes to go through the heifer show and then the cows. So I would guess, you know, normally that would be in that 11:30 to 12 range before we get to cows. And he will, he actually has access to those pictures prior to. He may already have run through them and kind of taken a look to see what he's thinking. There's also going to be some short video. He wants to see them walking, you know, because normally he sees them moving and
sure.
And sees the kids working. So there's going to be some short video. So he probably will already have kind of an idea of what he's looking at. But all of the pictures will be brought down to the show ring, and he will place them and tell why his placing, you know, just like if they were there, he will tell you why he placed them the way he did, and everyone will know the answer to then.
Well, there'd actually be blue ribbons by the pictures then, and red ribbons and those kind of things?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was part of not bringing the cows. The fair agreed to amend the fair book so that they will still be giving out premiums and ribbons just like they always have. They'll just be giving them out based on the pictures.
That'll be nice. Then people can go by and, you know, see how maybe their rating compared to the judges and things like that. It'll be kind of a fun little tidbit, too.
Yeah, I think it will. And that's, I mean, we were just trying to do something to kind of draw people, give them a little more reason to come and see those pictures. And the pictures will be there all the entire fair. They'll be put up probably Wednesday when entries are in. And I know some of the kids actually even plan on, you know, there won't be anything in the stall, and they probably won't put bedding down because why waste bedding? But I know some of the kids plan on putting up their same decorations, and they'll have pictures of them and their cows in those, you know, at those stall areas as well. So that's a nice thing, too. I mean, at least they'll still be there in theory.
Let's hope this is the only year we have to deal with this, right?
Oh, I hope so. It's been kind of a crazy trying to get all this put together and all that has been kind of crazy. So I really hope that, you know, that things will calm down and maybe next year we can go back to just being normal.
So I know this is not your area, but the beef show is probably going to be the same, and you know, some of the other animals are going to stay the same in terms of entries and things like that.
Yeah, as far as I know, the other animals really aren't affected by this, or they're not you know, like beef are not being required to do any testing on their cows or anything like that. So as far as I know, their numbers are up or at normal levels there as well. So, yeah, I think most of the animals will be at normal levels.
Good. Well, of course, the kids will be around, too. So hopefully people, you know, if they see them on the grounds, they can congratulate them and, you know, congratulate them on a job well done. Because I know that's a hard project to deal with, too.
It is. Yep, it is. And the kids will be there. Most of the kids who are not going to be able to bring cows are actually still going to do showmanship. I know our seniors are all going to borrow animals and they will still have a class of senior showmen Saturday morning. So, I mean, come out and support those youth. I mean, it is. It's a tough thing for them, and it's totally out of their control. You know, it's not within any of our control. So,
right. We're just doing it, dealing with it the best we can.
Yep.
Think about the fear over the years. We've had to deal with floods and, you know, different things.
Oh, yeah. There's always COVID. Been some kind of conflict that we've dealt with. But, yeah, it's just another one of those things that's, someone threw a wrench in the works, and we're going to deal with it the best we can and make the best of it. And we're really hoping that people will turn out and take a look at, I mean, like I said, these kids have still done all that work. Most of them were planning, you know, right up until the day it was decided that we weren't bringing cows, that they were bringing cows. So they've worked with them. And even for the pictures, one thing we required, all the kids had to wash their animal. They had to clip their animal. I mean, they're not just brought out of the barnyard and quick shot, you know, few pictures here and that's it. I mean, these kids actually are still finishing the work, and they're, I know most of them didn't put on show whites, but they're still leading them in the videos. They got show halters on them. I mean, the kids still did most of the work that they would have done if they brought them to the fair. So.
Indeed. Just didn't trailer them and bring them in. That's the only difference.
Yep.
So, good. Anything else you'd like to add today, Joey?
Nope. I think that kind of wraps it up.
Good. Well, here's to a good fair. I know it will be, and we'll hope for good weather, and all systems go to the Richland County Fair.
Thank you.
You bet. Jody Cornell joining us here talking about the upcoming dairy portion of the Richland County Fair on The Morning Show. Welcome back to The Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We're talking books today, and there's a new one that I really have enjoyed. Tom Manis and Christy Manis are on the phone. We're talking about Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for having us.
No problem. So tell me a little bit about the idea of where this book came from.
Well, we are travel writers for online and print publications, and also our own website. But that came as a result of, we just love road trips. And it's our favorite thing to do, no matter where we're at in the world or the country. We take back roads and two-lane highways as much as we can. And that's where you find unique things. So, I mean, in all these years, we just decided to share our love for Wisconsin.
We just love to get out and go and see whatever we can see.
Christy, are you the native of Wisconsin in this duo?
I am.
So, did you learn a lot about the state that you didn't know?
I did. I was amazed at what's out there. And, you know, we're working on another book right now, and we're still finding stuff. And we probably have 300 things for an additional version of this book. Wisconsin is a quirky state.
I think we've known that. Tom, you know, of course, not being a native, but now being in Wisconsin, what surprised you the most, I guess?
Well, I think what surprises me the most is that I failed to be surprised anymore because Wisconsin is so quirky. Absolutely, I love Wisconsin. I love finding out, researching, and, you know, studying Wisconsin. And I mean, every day I'm adding new things. But I guess as we dive in and find things to talk about, one of the stories I love is in Janesville, there's the Cozy Inn. It's the nation's second oldest Chinese restaurant in one location. And people know their egg rolls all over the country. So when people come to, like, Madison or even Janesville, they get coolers and order egg rolls ahead of time. They'll get 30, 40, even up to 100 at a time and take them back on the plane, no matter where they're across the country. And it's a recipe that's 2 days old. It's not 2 days old. It takes 2 days to make. But the other thing, another layer to that story is the owner, his mom, bought the restaurant a long time ago. She was a well-known Chinese chef in Milwaukee. She wanted to own her own restaurant, so she found the one in Janesville, the Cozy Inn. She bought it. And then the son now, who's nearing retirement age, has been running it with him and his wife. And then the funny thing is his dad was one of the 6 Chinese survivors from the Titanic. And James Cameron actually made a movie, made the Titanic movie. Mm-hmm. He actually made a documentary about it called The Six. And so, I mean, as we dive in and find these unique things, we find different layers to add to it. And that's what I really love.
There are all kinds of, crazy stories, but also I thought of it as, Christy, somebody wanted to, they could kind of use this as their book to tour the state of Wisconsin, couldn't they?
Oh, I think so, yes. Tom was talking about one of his favorite things. One of the quirkiest things I found was, we all know about Friday fish fries. I mean, growing up in Wisconsin, you always went to fish on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But we had heard about a place in Kenosha that has Friday morning fish fries. And we thought that was a little strange. So we had to go check it out. And at 7:30 in the morning, people line up in front of a bakery.
Oliver's Bakery.
Yeah, in Kenosha. And they're not there just for donuts. They get their donuts, but they also get fried fish and fried shrimp. And that just blew me away.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of that before.
Me either. Do they eat it or do they save it for later?
I don't know.
We tried it for breakfast.
Yeah, we had it for breakfast.
It was really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not bad.
No, and they've been doing this for years and years and years.
The current owner, she has worked there and owned it for over 40 years. And so we asked her, when did this tradition start? And she said, well, I don't know. I have no idea. We've been doing it ever since I've been here.
Hmm. I guess you never know. One that stuck out for me was, and I just thought it was ridiculous, but ridiculously funny, is where John F. Kennedy actually used the bathroom.
Yes.
Could you talk about that?
That's kind of strange. They do have a monument in the bathroom. It's kind of a dive bar.
Well, it is.
It is a dive bar. But when he was campaigning, he was stopping all over Northwest Wisconsin. And, you know, when nature calls, you have to listen to it. And so he happened into this bar.
So they have plaques on the bathroom door, you know, and inside they have stuff. And the bathroom doesn't look like it's been remodeled since then. So you can actually, if you're a guy, you can go to the bathroom, the same place that John F. Kennedy did. And they also have some different memorabilia next to it, too, on the wall. So it's one of those quirky things that's it's definitely unique. And if you're in Spooner, you need to check it out.
The original urinal. Who knew, right?
Right.
Right. I mean, I don't know if the urinal's still original, but it doesn't look like they remodeled anything in the bathroom.
That's crazy.
It's been there since at least the 1930s.
Wow. Again, that's in Spooner. Al Capone is mentioned in there as well. Could you talk about that story?
Well, that's a story that we really had to dig deep with to verify the location. And Christy really...
Every town in northern Wisconsin at least has a story about one of the gangsters. They were all over the northern part of the state. Everybody has a theory where they were, and there's not a lot of hard evidence on some stuff. And we really want everything to be authentic. So we really debated on that story. And we researched it and researched it and researched it and found the actual Al Capone hideout.
Because what you find online is not the actual spot.
Yeah. If you Google it or if you read a lot of articles, they'll tell you to go one place and it's actually in a different location. So we went there and found it, and it was pretty exciting.
It's a cool place. I mean, it's a lot of history there.
On a little lake, and the story goes that he flew in his liquor from Canada on a seaplane onto this lake.
And then he would load it into his trucks and then ship it to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And at this point, it's totally abandoned, and there's no trespassing signs. You can't get in there. There's a lot of theories on who owns it, but it is still there.
Hmm.
And you can't drive up to the gate.
Right.
And that's above and beyond, I think a lot of people know of Little Bohemia, where the shootout took place.
That's over in Manitowish Waters.
Right.
Yeah. And I've actually been there, too, and that's kind of interesting.
Yes, it is. The other one that...
I
thought it was right out of maybe the National Enquirer, but the guy who got pancakes from extraterrestrials, that was quite a story.
Oh, yeah. I love that story.
Well, and one of the reasons we love that story is, everybody's got a UFO story, but this one has actually been documented.
And it's still an open case with the government. They came out to investigate it, and they thought that, the pancakes were of earthly ingredients, but there was so much other stuff going on at the same exact time. The whole area lost power right before this story. An Air Force plane crashed, and there was just too many things to coincide. And I just think that's a neat story.
And we love the picture of him actually holding the pancake up, the alien pancake. So they traded, and I guess, he deciphered from them that they needed water, and in exchange for him giving them water for their spaceship, they gave him pancakes, which is a really funny story.
Great outdoors, from 17 caliber varmint guns to shotguns, deer rifles, trail cameras, and archery. Open Season Hunting Outlet, open from 11 to 5 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8:30 until 2 at 182 North Main Street, Richland Center, or call 649-0030. Competitive prices on guns, ammo, and other outdoor needs. Stop at Open Season Hunting Outlet or visit openseasonoutlet.com.
WRCO 100.9 FM.
News time at 6:30 is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's high temperature will be at around 80 degrees, sunshine, breezy, and warm today. A south wind at 8 to 15, clear to partly cloudy tonight, a low of 53. Thursday, a 30% chance of a few showers or light thunderstorms by early afternoon, and a high of 80. Right now in Richland Center, it is 45, our overnight low.
Hello, friends. Ellie here at Chet's. Remember, it's your bird's most favorite time of the year. At Chet's, we have many choices to feed them, from sunflower seeds, Niger, finch food, a variety of suet cakes, bird feeders, and the famous Chet's Special, sold by the pound or bag. Keep your birds happy and stop down to Chet's for all your bird seed needs.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. Platteville police are trying to identify a body found on Monday night. Two people called into the police saying they found what appeared to be a body in the woods. The state crime lab has collected the remains and will try to determine how the person died and who they are. Anyone with information is asked to call the Platteville police. Richland Center has hired a new city clerk at last night's city council meeting. Alderperson Melanie Walters reported that Amanda Keller of Richland Center has been serving as the administrative assistant for a short time, has been hired to serve as the new city clerk. Walters also announced that the position of zoning administrator has finally been filled. Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner also reported to the council that the grant package to do work needed by the city for the new hospital location was approved. Alderperson Mark Chambers reported that a new shelter is coming to the splash pad at Kroska Park. The improvements at the splash pad are being funded by the Rotary Club. Chambers also reported that the park board is discussing new lighting at Kroska Park. Alderperson Karen Tepley advised the council that while the city recently installed Wayfair signs so visitors can easily find areas of town, there is something new to come. She announced that the city will be placing trailhead signs marking the access points for the bike trail. The Richland Center City Council also approved a number of items at last night's meeting. Items included an application by the Marion M. Carley Revocable Trust to divide a parcel of land located at 286 West 6th Street. The request includes making the Dario a standalone building and to tear down the housing that it is attached to. The old housing will be replaced with two detached duplexes. City Administrator Ashley Oliphant also invites everyone who would like to give of their time to the city to find opportunities on the city's website, opportunities to serve on a committee, board, or commission to influence local governance and promote positive change are possible. It's an opportunity to bring your perspectives and skills to the table. Simply go online to richlandcenterwi.gov, click on the government tab, and then opportunities to serve. Talk of separating the University of Wisconsin in Madison from the rest of the UW system is sounding more serious. A legislative study committee on the future of Wisconsin state universities talked about it recently. Some committee members say UW-Madison has needs and challenges that no other UW schools have. A public information meeting regarding the findings of the Richland Campus and Governmental Buildings Feasibility Study conducted by Venture Architects will be held this evening. During this time, Venture Architects will present the findings of their evaluations of the Richland Campus, as well as the Richland County Courthouse and Community Services Building. This will be the first time anyone has heard the findings, including the Richland County Board of Supervisors. Dave Turk serves as the board chair.
We're looking forward to hearing the information Wednesday night as much as the public, and then we have to start really thinking about stuff. So we know it's been a slower process than people would have liked, and we would love to have answers a lot quicker than we have, but we also, as Candace said, we need to do this right. So we want to be careful, get all the information we need, and then make the best decisions we can.
Beginning at 6 o'clock tonight at the White House Ramada Inn Banquet Room, Venture Architects will relay its findings to everyone in the community at the same time. County Administrator Candace Pesch urges all interested parties to attend.
You can park around the back and enter in the banquet room doors from the back parking lot, especially for those that access is a challenge. That way you don't have to worry about stairs or an elevator. Otherwise, you can come in the main front doors and go right down the stairs, and you will be right down into the banquet room.
A virtual option will also be available for those needing it through the Richland County government website. No future plans for the campus will be discussed at tonight's meeting. Republican State Representative John Mako says not only should the game be played in the U.S. for safety, but also the upcoming Packers and the Eagles game in Brazil should be canceled because of a moral obligation. Mako cites several issues, including a contentious election, censorship, and growth in crime, for why the game should be moved. Friday's game between the Packers and the Eagles at the stadium marks the first ever in South America. And it was hinted earlier this week that it could be canceled because of wildfires, but at this point, it is still on. 23-year-old Chad Richards was arrested Saturday in connection to the shooting death of 21-year-old Kara Welsh. Whitewater police responded to an apartment Friday night and found Welsh dead of multiple gunshot wounds. Investigators determined an argument between Welsh and Richards preceded the shooting. Richards faces charges including first-degree intentional homicide. Welsh was a national champion gymnast and two-time All-American for UW-Whitewater. Gas prices fell another 5.5 cents during the last week. The average across the state is $3.16 per gallon this week. This is 35 cents lower than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than at this time last year. This is the fifth straight week of the average price dropping. And September 4th, 1964, a Liverpool band that was taking the world by storm played to a jam-packed Milwaukee arena. The MC for the Beatles' one and only Wisconsin show was legendary Milwaukee disc jockey Bob Berry, who said the best word to describe the atmosphere that night was pandemonium. Berry said there was so much screaming by fans that it was impossible to hear John, Paul, George, and Ringo singing. Berry said he's never experienced anything like that before or since then. He will be hosting a celebration of the Beatles' only Milwaukee show tonight at a Beatles-themed club in Waukesha. Ready to revamp your deck or fence? Mailey Paint and Decorating in Richland Center introduces you to Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. Over 3,500 solid and ultra-flat options. Woodlux by Benjamin Moore brings out the natural grain and texture of your wood while protecting it from the elements like rain, sun, and snow. For a stunning, durable finish that lasts, visit Mailey Paint and Decorating. Benjamin Moore Woodlux, where innovation meets excellence. Mailey Paint and Decorating, your partner in beautiful, lasting results. Today's forecast calls for a high of 80. It'll be sunny and breezy and a bit warmer than the last couple of days. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, a low of 53 and near 80 with a 30% chance of afternoon showers coming up tomorrow. Friday, 65. Saturday, 64. And Sunday, 72. In Richland Center, the midnight reading was 52. We're down to the current mark, the overnight low, which is 45.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams September holiday sale and get 30% off paints and stains from August 30th through September 9th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at a Brewer game last night that went late, and details as well on the Packers being a slight underdog for Friday night's game.
As part of Suicide Prevention Month, the Richland Hospital and Clinics encourages you to talk about mental health with the people you care about. Suicide is a leading cause of death in the United States, and it's often the result of an untreated mental health condition. For many, the stigmas around mental illness keep them from seeking help when they need it. Support those close to you by starting a conversation. For professional support, call the Richland Hospital and Clinics or call 988 if you are in a crisis.
Last night in high school soccer, Evansville, a winner against Dodge Point, 7-1 the final score. The soccer season opens for several teams, including Richland Center, on Thursday when they play at Dodgeville Mineral Point. 7 o'clock kickoff time for varsity tomorrow evening. The Brewers dropped a 7-4 game to the St. Louis Cardinals last night in 12 innings. Milwaukee tied the game in the 11th when Cardinals center fielder Michael Ciani couldn't complete a circus catch that resulted in RBI number 100 for Willy Adames. Unfortunately, the visitors exploded for 3 runs and the victory in the 12th inning. Elvis Peguero absorbed the loss. Right-hander Colin Ray starts the rubber game of the series for the Brewers coming up tonight at American Family Field.
Field. Brewer manager talking about some things that didn't go well for the Brewers. Here is Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, overall, the you credit the St. Louis pitching if you want, because I think they did a really nice job, and I think we just, it wasn't our normal output. Wasn't our normal output in my mind.
Elsewhere last night, Pittsburgh beat the Cubs 5-0, Atlanta 3, Colorado 0, Washington 6-2 over Miami, Arizona 8, San Francisco 7. In the American League, Tampa Bay 2, Minnesota 1, Baltimore 9-0 over the White Sox, Cleveland 7, the Kansas City Royals 1, Texas 7-4 over the Yankees, Oakland 3-2 winners against Seattle. In interleague play, the Mets 7, Boston 2, Philadelphia 10-9 over Toronto, and the Dodgers beat the Angels, final score of 6-2. According to one service, the Packers are 3-point underdogs in the 2024 season opener against the Philadelphia Eagles. The NFL opening week games on four different days, starting Thursday, followed by the Packers-Eagles on Friday, then the rest on Sunday and Monday. No changes have been announced, so it appears the game involving Green Bay will be the first ever NFL contest played in Brazil. Kickoff is set for 7:15. On Friday night, Coach Matt LaFleur talked about getting set to practice.
Obviously, leaning on our experts here in terms of what are the best practices, what do you need to do, from hydrating to eating meals to the recovery. These guys have researched and talked to a lot of people, and I feel really confident with our plan and what we're going to do. And, you know, the circumstances are the circumstances, but it's the same for both teams.
ESPN reports the Badgers' second-week opponent, South Dakota, is a stronger team than Western Michigan. The sports website points out that FCS teams are rarely compared to FBS teams. The Broncos gave Wisconsin a hard challenge in the 28-14 opening game. The Badgers are still heavily favored to win against the Jackrabbits. Coach Luke Fickell's team is still rated outside the top 25 in the coaches' poll, which was officially released yesterday. That's an update on Wednesday morning sports. I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Yeah.
But didn't they discover that the pancakes were of earthly origin, or is that true?
Yes, earthly. The Air Force investigated it, and they came back that the pancakes were of earthly ingredients. But the case is still open and under investigation to this day. So there must be something to it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're not telling us everything that they know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there are pancakes in New Mexico right now from Wisconsin. You never know.
So. You never know.
You never know. They look kind of burned, too.
They do.
They were great cooks.
They do in the picture. What's the story with the boy with the leaking boot?
That's a great story, because even people that live in Stevens Point, Wausau, and that drive by it every day, I don't know how many times we've heard that they say, oh, yeah, well, I see that statue. It's like a water fountain statue, but we don't know why it's there sometimes, and sometimes it's not, you know?
It's in front of the police, or the fire department in Stevens Point, the main fire department. And we actually got a tip from some friends of ours that live in Stevens Point. And they said, you know about the leaky boot? And I did not. And we went over there to check it out, and it's a statue that's been around since the 1800s. And it had been in different places. And it's a little boy who holds a boot, and water pours out of the boot. And what was interesting about the whole story is he's only in front of the fire department from May through Labor Day. And that's why most people don't know about it, because they put him away. And, of course, our first question is, why did they put him away? And it's because the students at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point like to kidnap the boy with the leaky boots.
Oh.
So they decided a few years ago that instead of replacing it, which they have done numerous times, they would just put it away when the students were there. So they store the older ones that are more original in the basement of the fire department.
And the fire department, they're actually restoring the original once again. And they're in charge of, you know, putting it out and taking it down in the history and documentation. And, I mean, that's kind of like their own little project, their passion project that they really love.
There are some stories that really don't have an explanation, I don't think, but what's the story with the self-driving car?
Oh, that is so much fun that we had to go back twice. You know, and we live in Eau Claire, so it's not a short jaunt over there. So it's just outside of Shoalsburg, and it's Gravity Hill. And it's, I mean, you can call it what you want. It's optical illusion. It's gravity that goes uphill. We actually defying gravity, but we did it, and we had so much fun. So you put your car in neutral at a certain spot, which is marked in our book. There's a sign, but it's marked, and you put your car in neutral, and the car goes uphill.
It backs up a hill.
Yeah, it goes back up the hill, and so we're like, hey, this is kind of weird. So we tried it both ways, you know, both lanes, both ways. We tried it different ways, and we got out and looked at it. You know, somebody was in the truck, and, you know, we'd get out and look at it and watch it. And it's not that slow either. I think we were, was it 15 miles an hour, maybe? No.
I don't even know.
No, I don't think it was 15 miles an hour. It might have been 5 miles an hour. But it's more than just like a creep or a crawl.
No, it gains speed as you're, as it's pulling you. It's like you have little trolls pushing or pulling your car up this hill. I mean, it's just a freak of nature.
And no explanation for it.
No.
No, and as we tell people, it's a great family thing to do and take your kids.
Yeah, it's like an amusement park that's free. Your kids would love it. I mean, we loved it.
Yeah.
Just that unknown.
Can you tell us about the circus poster that is still around?
Okay, so the circus poster it's a temporary lithograph from
1885.
And temporary meaning it was only supposed to last about 2 months. And so what would happen, the circus would come to town, and the workers would go ahead of time and put up, you know, circus posters on the side of buildings, these lithographs, advertising, but it was actually supposed to disintegrate after 2 months so that they didn't have to come back and put the extra labor in and take them down. But what happened was it's in the Corral Bar and Grill in Durand, which is just outside of Eau Claire. And the owner of the bar, the owner's siblings own the bar, and they bought the building next door to extend, you know, and make an event center. So the owner started tearing into the wall, and, you know, he got a hole and, you know, torn out. And then he realized a colorful buffalo was staring back at him. You know, obviously it's like, this isn't right. So he carefully tore more of the wall down, and as he was peeking inside, he saw more and more. But what happened was, it's an actual 55 foot long by 9 feet tall, really, really colorful lithograph of the circus that was coming to town from 1885. And the archivist at the Bearview Museum, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My mind is going blank. Because everybody can read my mind. Okay, Circus World.
Yes.
An archivist from the Circus World said it's the best preserved and the biggest that he's seen. So it took him 2 years to restore it, and now it's fully restored behind glass. And, I mean, anybody can go in and see it. I mean, you can just walk in and go see it. There's no charge to see it.
It's in a little restaurant.
Yeah, it's in the side room, in the event room. And And it is one of the most unique things I've ever seen before.
It's absolutely beautiful. And it, you can just stand there, and it's so intricate. There's so much to see on this poster.
The details, and it, there really is a lot going on.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Since you've published Secret Wisconsin, have more things come to the forefront? Have people told you about things you need to go see and do for another book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we hear things from people that we have to check out. And, you know, we're also writing our next book, which is going to be out in the spring, called Historic Wisconsin Roadsides. And researching that, we're finding more and more stuff. I mean, to begin with, we had over 300 things from our list that did not make the book. And now we're adding just more and more and more to it on top of that. But
it's amazing how much stuff is in the state of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is a unique state.
Yeah.
It really is. And so,
and I think it's the people that make it that way. I think the history of the state, you know, pretty much opened its doors to having all these unique and quirky things.
Right.
And it's, and when we chose what we did for this book, we chose things from all over the state. And we did it the old-fashioned way. We had a map, and we put pens in it. But we wanted to make sure that everybody had something close to them that they could go see. So it covers the entire state.
And we wanted to make sure it was family-friendly and inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. You can do everything in the book. Someone can take the book and experience everything in the book for $64.80.
Oh, really?
Now, that doesn't include if you buy fish or a donut at a bakery or...
But, you know, some museums have,
you leave a donation or something, but otherwise you can do the whole book for that.
Well, for instance, you know, the Cozy Inn, they're famous for the egg rolls. If you want to experience that, one egg roll is $2.35.
So it's a great bargain, obviously.
It is.
Wow.
And one of the reasons is we want families to get out.
We just want people to get out and drive around and see unique things and just make memories.
Mm-hmm. And most of them are not like what I would call tourist traps, are they?
Right. That's exactly right. And I think when you look for stuff to do online, the same things pop up over and over and over. And so the first time you see it is, you know, oh, hey, that's kind of neat. That's original. That looks like fun. But when it keeps popping up over and over and over, your senses become dull to it, and it just doesn't seem like that much fun anymore. So we try to have everything that is not found, typically found on the first few pages of a Google search. And so, I mean, because in it, reality, that's what we love. What we have found throughout our travels is, no matter where we're at in the world, is that when we plan for things to go see, we're often disappointed. But it's the things that we don't, you know, plan for, that we just come across, or, you know, that really... that we talk about forever, and those make the best memories. And that's a reflection also, you know, that's how we wanted the book to be reflected.
I think you bring up a good point, too, because that's the way it is sometimes with vacations. You know, you plan and you have all these expectations, and maybe it doesn't live up to that. If you just started out in Wisconsin and took a drive, you probably wouldn't be disappointed with some of these things in the book, would you?
That's so true. Right. That's so true. Right. I mean, it's, you just get out there, take the back roads, the two-lane highways. Just don't make a plan. Just go out, unless you're looking for something in the book, you know. But that's how we find things. I mean, we have, like, when we travel, we have no idea where we're going. I mean, we don't have a plan unless, you know, we fly into somewhere. We'll stay at a location at a hotel. That's planned the first night. But after that, it's totally whichever way the wind blows at that moment. I mean, we... could think, you know, we're going to go this direction, we're going to go south.
But then somebody might say, oh, you need to see this, and we'll head that way.
Yeah, we'll go west. So, I mean, you know, you just never know. And when you kind of get tied down when you make plans, and, you know, we just had so many disappointments, you know, that way. So we just like going with the wind.
If you don't know where you're going, you can't be disappointed.
Right. Good point, Christy. Well, certainly you visited other states in the nation. Are you looking at books for some of these other states, or are you going to stay with Wisconsin?
We're staying with Wisconsin right now. We have book deals for two more in Wisconsin.
We write a lot about other states and stuff for online magazines and
print publications, different places. So, but we love Wisconsin, and it's just there's so much here that people overlook. I mean, we could write for years and years and years.
And we love the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, very good. How can people get a hold of the book if they're interested in this?
They can find it just about everywhere. It's on, of course, all Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Books a Million.
All those type of places. It's also in a lot of independent bookstores.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, check with your independent bookstore first, because they are the backbone of you know, our economy. But check with your independent bookstore first, and if they don't have it, they usually can order it for you and have it within a few days.
Well, you mentioned your next book's coming out again. What was your focus for the next book going to be?
It's Historic Wisconsin Roadsides. And what it is it's road trips around the state. We're building road trips throughout the state of interesting things to see and do with a historical perspective. But it's going to be, you know, a lot more modern history, I think, you know, probably.
And I think it's going to be
about road trips.
Yeah. And it's going to be fun, like this book.
Now, this one certainly is fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And Tom and Christy Manis joining us on the phone. And good luck to you. And hopefully we can do it when you get your next book out.
Thank you. Yes, we'd love to.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
This is The Morning Show from WRCO.